Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. We are here tonight on the air with Dr. Pat Allen, and tonight we are going to talk about all kinds of things, but one of the first things we're going to talk about is Dr. Allen's best-selling book, Getting to I Do. Many of you out there who are listening have already read it. If you haven't, you need to if you're looking for a mate, and if you're looking for how to get to I Do. So tonight we're going to talk about Dr. Allen about how we get to I Do, what she was thinking when she wrote this book, and whether or not it's still poignant today. Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
Hi. I like being on the air.
We like having you on the air.
Yeah.
So Getting to I Do is your premier bestseller.
Yes.
And it's really a guidebook. It's a roadmap, isn't it?
Yes, it truly is. It's a composite of all that I've learned up to the time that I wrote it. I wrote it in the early 90s.
Okay, so things were different in the 90s. And
I understand that, but the truth is because everything that I write is grounded in science and is continually being validated. I look, when I go for my CEUs, continuing education, I have to go to the killer levels. I go to the psychiatrist group, and I'm going to be going back to my sponsor, Harvard University Medical School of Addictions, in a month.
Fantastic.
To get certified, upgraded my... I have to do 20 units towards my addiction issues in alcohol and sex.
Oh, yes.
And I have to do 18, which sometimes overlaps, for my license yearly. And so because of that, I always go to the sessions where I think the person that's speaking on the brain, is going to show me that my work is bad and wrong.
But you've never had that experience yet.
No, I haven't had it. What I've found is what I have instinctively correlated between my mind, their mind, I put dots together. That's how my brain operates. I'm a creative person. I'm a musician, a pianist, and an organist. And I am an artist. My bachelor's degree is in art. And for a number of years, I was a grade school art teacher in Iowa, and I had four schools that were in the same group, and I would take the supplies to the classrooms, and then, they would do what I needed to do. I did another syllabus. I'm syllabus addictive, so. Anyway, that was before I started getting into the books. So I integrated all that I knew. My brain works to condense things into simple. It's interesting. Einstein said that genius, and I'm not necessarily, I'm smart, but Einstein said genius is making the obvious understandable to everyone.
Now, that's interesting, and I think there's a lot of people out there. I know a lot of our listeners are going to argue that you are a genius.
Well, so be it. Okay.
And your Facebook page is always lighting up with just praise for you and praise for Getting to I Do.
Well, I choose to believe my gift belongs to my audience and my readers. And if I serve my audience and my readers, that I am doing my job on the planet. I consider being creative God's gift, but it doesn't belong to me. You see?
Okay.
It doesn't belong to me. It's here for me to pass on.
I see. I understand that.
So what I did was correlate those things, the art things, And I was a junior high art teacher in a ghetto school that shall be nameless, you know, but it was definitely, my classroom was really a classroom with creative, because I don't know if you know this, but really creative people can often be very, very dark and a little shady.
Yes.
Yep. So my classroom was a bunch of wonderful, complicated young men and women, mostly young boys, junior high, who basically had problems with the law, with whatever. But in that classroom, my classroom, I allowed them to create.
So they had the freedom of expression
with
you.
They had the freedom of expression.
Now, let me ask you, when you were looking at their art, the things that they were creating, was it revealing what they were showing you in their art? Was it revealing?
Of course.
And was it getting you to a place where you understood these things that, you know, was that what inspired you to go into therapy?
What it was, see, if you're a bartender, a hairdresser, an art teacher, a music teacher, you have developed a humongous amount of ESP, extrasensory perception.
Okay.
Because you hear the stories over and over again. And pretty soon, you start analyzing within your own brain, even though you're not a Freudian psychoanalyst or a Jungian analyst.
Right.
Or me, I'm a transactional analyst.
Right.
Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, at the doctor's office being healthy, and in every single relationship, especially erotic sexual ones. So I have learned by just living my life how to read people. And now that I'm specially trained in transactional analysis and psychoanalysis and analysis, I basically know what people are saying. And the interesting thing is, I perceive myself as a therapist, not a moralist.
Right.
It's none of my business. All I have to report is child abuse, elder abuse, and disabled adult abuse.
Right.
What you want to do, as long as it's within, especially if you're a creative person, a child, it was awesome. But what I did was the beginning of my how to pass it on. I got the school district, which shall be nameless. but I eventually became the president of the Teachers Association in that city. And let it walk out. I am very uniquely creative in both the good stuff and the bad stuff. So what I did was, I got the school districts to give me a bus. This was during the Black Panther movement.
Oh, wow.
I got them to give me a bus, and I took my kids with their pull-down hats and their gloves and their stuff to various industries to look at the career opportunities.
Wow.
And I know that the places I took them to may have been frightened by the people I took there. And I probably had the only classroom where kids broke in.
Right.
Rather than out.
Broke out, right.
Because I made sure that they had the equipment. You know, an art classroom is a classroom with weapons.
Yes.
And if you're not a respected, cherished teacher, you're in big. One army soldier who, you know, retired and came, he lasted like till Christmas.
Yeah.
And another lady literally left within a month. So my being in that classroom, in that school district, doing my thing with kids that had trouble expressing themselves, was my way of really supporting. That was my way of becoming a therapist. I was in the middle of a master's degree in Cal State Fullerton, and in those days it was a 60-unit master's. It was a combo PhD master's.
Right.
And so I was in the middle of one, and I've got to tell you, and you darlings out there, that my master's degree was, now listen to this carefully, the effect of artificial illumination on kinesthetic objects.
Wow.
Do you know what I was doing? I was doing palette knife resin paintings on rotating beer sides.
Wow. Oh, can we have a caller? You want to take a call?
Yes.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
No.
Well, thanks for calling anyway.
Okay. Well,
no, all right.
That might have been one of my ex-students.
That might have been one of your students. So that was what really lit you on fire, was your experience with those kids. It was an
with
igniter.
The junior high. Oh, the school was going, listen, this, the school was going to paint that school, right? Now, you know, tagging and all that stuff.
Right.
And I asked the principal, I said, can my students do cartoons on the buildings?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he said, sure, why not?
So sanctioned graffiti.
Sanctioned graffiti of a comical way.
Okay.
On the other hand, it was horrible the day the mother came to school to get the file for her child that had been shot by the police in a criminal act.
Right.
Do you see?
Yeah.
So these were human beings that were struggling, you know, with society. The school was gerrymandered, so it was mostly black and brown.
Right.
And one white guy got into my classroom, and he was giving me a bad time like a normal junior high kid.
Right.
And my other guys walked up and said, cool it, dude. So they were my babysitters too.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
So they really connected with you. They really hooked up with you, and that's really what therapy is about. If you have a therapist and you're not,
it's called transference,
right? And you're not connecting with them, then maybe,
and you're not judging them,
right?
But you're helping them. We used to do movies, and then charge 25 cents for people to come after school and see them. Now, in those days, we weren't into recordings with the record in it.
Right, right.
So we'd have to record the actors, which were kids,
right,
and take pictures and then put the records with the pictures, you know.
Oh, old school style.
Yeah, old school style.
Yeah.
So these are the experiences that got me to the place where I had done my internship. See, remember, I switched from that art project over to counseling, therapy.
Right.
And I was studying under Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey, who were cognitive Myers-Briggs people.
Right.
Please understand me.
Right.
So this was the beginning. And then I got into transactional analysis with Eric Byrne at the Orange County Institute for TA.
Right.
And I gradually switched from my art master's over to a master's in counseling.
So how long have you been doing this?
How long have I been in college? No, you're laughing. No.
When did you actually start doing therapy?
1974.
So a long time.
Yeah.
A really long time.
Right.
Now, you wrote Getting to I Do.
Well, I wrote it based on a wonderful wordsmithy, Sandra Harmon.
Right.
Who wrote with Priscilla Presley, please, you know, Elvis and Me.
Yes, yes,
and
Sandy
so
Harmon.
She was with William Morris, and that's the deal. She came to one of my L.A. seminars, which were a spinoff of my internship.
So right.
You have to demonstrate. To
right,
get your
of course.
License. So I did an L.A. one at a church, you know, in the sanctuary, not sanctuary, but I did move to the sanctuary on Wilshire. Then I was in a major classroom, and she came up and said, I'll help you write your book. And she was an authentic wordsmithy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And so we did it. We wrote the book.
Right.
We wrote the book. And
it's based on your work.
Well, yeah, my work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we were commissioned to do three books, Getting to I Do, and then we were to do Staying Married, Loving It. We got into difficulty, and I wrote that with someone else that was on the publishing board.
Right.
You know, and I did not and was not willing to write a third book with her for difficulties we had. But we did do those two.
Right.
And I appreciate what she did to help put my very complicated thinking into simplistic terms.
Yes. Now, I get a lot of emails, and I track your Facebook page and read all of the comments, and I notice that whenever you're talking about Getting to I Do, you get a lot of success stories on your page. People saying, I couldn't find anybody, I didn't know what I was doing, I couldn't get to I Do until I read this book.
That's right. And I got one of those calls on the way here today. A girl who is very masculine and very controlling,
mm-hmm.
I talked her into risking a boyfriend. You know, that's what she was coming to the L.A. seminar for.
Right.
And she said, my God, I did what you said. You know, I thought he had left me, and I didn't chase him, and I didn't get rid of him, and I waited, and he called, and he was so nice to me. The woman has been studying with me for at least 5 years. So you know what I had her do? What I'm going to have her do?
What's that?
She's going to come up in front of the audience and do a testimonial this Monday on the fact that she finally did everything I said and got her man.
And she has been successful.
Yes.
I read over and over these women and some men, but mostly women, saying, I was so angry when I first read the book. I was so mad.
Okay, I threw it away.
I threw it away. Across the room.
Gave it away.
Oh, I was so mad. And then I had to end up buying another copy or getting another. I burnt it. I mean, and then something inside, I don't know, a period of time passes, but something that they've read in that book clicks in their mind. Something clicks into place and then they repurchase. Now, that's pretty amazing.
That is so true.
That's pretty amazing to have somebody, to make somebody so angry that they will actually burn your book and then go back out and repurchase it.
Oh, it happens. It was so darling. I had one story where a woman was a neighbor to another lady, and the lady, one of the ladies.
Right.
We'll call her Blondie because she was blonde and the other one had dark hair. Well, name should be not given. Anyway. Little Blondie said, oh, I just hate my husband. I'm going to leave that man and divorce him. And Miss Dark-Haired One said, go to see Pat Allen. I felt that about my husband. I got rid of him, and I regret it.
Yeah.
So the lady did.
Really?
And she did and was able to undo her anger. You see?
Yeah.
And that's
an interesting part of the process, because you've talked before about, you know, how long, you know, before the, I don't know, I guess they call it the 7-year itch or, you know.
Yes.
And alphas start to fall out of infatuation.
We dislike each other up and down.
Right.
But you don't commit. I want you to follow my pledge, and the audience will follow. Raise
your right
hand.
I'm raising my right hand.
I promise.
On my honor. Never.
Will I commit. To a finite, fallible human being. Instead.
I will commit to the relationship.
With a finite, fallible human being. And stay. Because he's 51% valuable. Now, on the bad days, that 1% may be, I like the money.
Uh-huh.
He's good to the kids.
Uh-huh.
He's a great lay.
Okay.
You see? Mm-hmm. Because feelings are not negotiable, and they ebb and flow all the time.
Right. Now, I notice some people don't understand what you mean when you say that feelings are negotiable. I think that they...
Well, they are with drugs, meds, murder, and suicide.
Right. But when you say they're not negotiable, they're just ebbing and flowing. They're just there. They're transient. They don't stay.
You know when the end of a relationship is?
What's that?
Apathy and empathy, also known as boring.
Ah, boredom.
If there's anything left in anger,
right,
sadness,
uh-huh,
you're not done.
Right.
You see, what's interesting about getting to I do is we always fall in love with the people that carry the shadow that we have to learn to deal with. Always.
Okay. So when you say that, you say... We fall in love with those people. Is it something inside of us that gravitates towards that?
No, it's something inside of us that's wanting an answer. Say, for example, a girl has a dad that's screwed around on his wife, which is the mother.
Right.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that girl is going to find men in a room of 300 men. She's going to find the man with the same shadow of her father.
So the cheater.
Yeah, so she's going to find that man so she can learn to deal with it.
Okay, so when you find that man and you've learned that issue, do you pick that man again?
No.
Okay, so you pick somebody else.
No.
Then how do you pick? What spurs you on then?
Your instinct if you're a woman and your intuition if you're a man. Because the bells go off that you've got another one of them.
Okay.
See, it isn't who you attract. You attract people to bring you painful lessons. That I guarantee you.
Yes, I can understand that, and I will...
But it's who you keep that indicates you're gamey.
Okay.
And when you finally get the feeling of being with someone who's got the game that you were taught as a kid, whatever it was, child molestation, it could be, you know, daddy screwing around on mom and mom having her boyfriends and all that stuff.
Right.
When you finally get the message, you're going to say, they did the best they could, but I don't need that anymore.
Okay.
You know what's really interesting about learning lessons? Is that you always get the message, but the lesson has gone away.
Right.
You don't need the lesson anymore.
You don't have to have it over and over.
Isn't
you don't have to
amazing?
Keep repeating it, right?
No.
So you get to alter your future, not your history. You get to embrace and understand your history. You get to alter your future.
And what's really interesting, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I love... You know, doing my pitch at a meeting.
Right.
But inevitably, now it's with laughter. Like I'm doing a little bit of it here. Do you see?
Okay, so you as an alcoholic, you're always going to be recovering. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. I'm 44 years sober, so.
That's amazing.
Yes, very good.
Okay, so when you are a recovering alcoholic, but you've gotten to a point where, like you said, you do it with laughter. The pain isn't there anymore for you like it was in the beginning?
The pain of memories may come up. For example, when I ruined the birthday party for my brain-damaged daughter. When I was telling that the other day to somebody who was alcoholic, and I wanted to share with them.
Right.
And that brought up feelings. But the truth is, that brain-damaged daughter, I sent her to rehab, and she sobered up, too. So it's you're working through those issues. Now, I mentioned ESP.
Yes.
A good bartender, a good hairdresser, a good therapist, a good spiritual leader, priest, rabbi.
Right.
You know, if you work with human beings in their problem areas,
yes,
you develop psychic skills that can help you help them.
Okay, so you were talking about reading people.
Yes.
And so one of the other things that we've touched on before, and many people were really interested in it, was you read dreams, and you read them brilliantly.
Yes.
And is that also, would you say, like an ESP for you?
Well, this is what it is. It's ESP, but it's combined with the education I've learned from Freud and from Jung, Bowlby. In other words, the additive is intellectual information gathered through professional training.
Right. Now, are you a reader of body language?
I don't pay much attention to
right.
that. I'm more interested in what the mind is thinking and the mouth is saying.
Okay.
I mean, I know there are people that do that. I know that 90% of all communication is body language, tones of voice, gestures, postures, and facial expressions.
Right.
But I love the 10% that is linear and linguistic.
Yes, I know, but you do mention those things, the gestures,
oh, yeah.
postures.
Right.
And they can be very combative.
I fully understand that. And that's the problem. When you get close to people's game,
right,
their script,
right,
which is what we read too, when you get close to those people, put up a blockade, a wall, because the one thing that human beings are most terrified of is change.
Yeah.
And that means going down the ladder or going up the ladder.
Right. Or like Alice, falling down the hole.
That's right.
So, you do life scripts, and I'm wondering, they're written, and you are talking about linguistics. Now,
yes.
When you're talking about linguistics, are you talking specifically spoken?
I'm a semanticist. Okay. I'm not a linguistic.
Okay, so are you talking specifically about the spoken word? Because you do have them write out their life script, and do you find that when they're writing that, the words they choose,
yes,
and use?
Yes, of course, absolutely. I love this one. I use this one all the way. I would like to talk to you. Oh, you mean you don't really believe you're going to? And then I use a little metaphor. If two people wanted to buy your car, and one said, I would like to buy it, and the other one said, I want to buy it, who's got the money to buy it?
Mm.
Is it the would like or the want?
The want.
Yes, but want is often scary for people raised in families where they were told, don't tell me what you want, you do what I want you to do.
Right.
You see?
Okay.
So their script is to not be worthy, that's woman, or not to be deserving, that's man,
okay,
of getting what you want. So you always say, would it be all right? Would you mind? Could we let... You know, one of the funniest things I say is, how many people were raised to be polite? And then hands go up all over the place.
Right.
And I say, get over it. And here's what I mean. Instead of saying, could you talk to me about this? Whiny, whiny.
Right.
You say, I want to talk to you. Is it convenient or comfortable today, hopefully?
Yes.
You say what you want, but then you put the politeness in. I want to talk to you. May I talk to you today?
Right.
Would it be convenient or comfortable?
You yes.
See? So I'm like I Hayakawa.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. He was a semanticist
mm-hmm.
when they used him in the O.J. trial. You see?
Right, right. So let me ask you this. Since the word want is so very important.
The Want Institute.
Let's talk about the Want Institute.
Yes.
What was your inspiration? How did you decide to do this and why?
Well, Want and not want. See, the first year of life is very yang. I want my mommy to feed me. I want, I want, I want. The second year of life is very yin. I don't want. Terrible twos. The third year of life for everybody, this is Freud's work, everybody has to decide if they're going to intimidate with fear to get what they want, seduce with guilt to get rid of what they don't want.
Right.
Or to negotiate a deal. Win-win.
Okay.
So the word want is so hard for unworthy and undeserving people to say. Oh, that's so impolite.
Right.
You know what experience I had? Maybe I told it on the internet here. I was invited to work for Colgate-Palmolive.
Okay.
In Ibiza, Spain, which is a resort island.
Mm-hmm.
And it's way up. It's high on the cliff.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be Germans, H&R people, you know, people that were human resources people.
Right.
Germans, English, Spanish, and Norwegians.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And I said, well, Pat Allen, you're really going off the cliff today, because I didn't know what the effect would be to teach my androgynous semantic realignment, ASR we call it.
Right, ASR.
Which and is that, want training.
Right.
Which is want training.
The
want training is simply a brand name
right.
for androgynous semantic realignment, which is a generic name for what it's my doctoral dissertation.
Right.
Okay, so I go there, and of course, it costs money to put me in there. And
yeah.
Colgate-Palmolive is wanting me to help these people communicate with Colgate-Palmolive clients.
Right.
And they each have their own native language.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
And they speak English. They all speak English because Colgate's an American company.
Right.
So here's what I found out.
Yes.
The English could not say, I want. It was too impolite.
Right.
Okay. The Germans could say what they wanted, but didn't care what you felt about it.
No, of course they don't.
You see?
Yes.
Now, the Norwegians, when they go neurotic, they go into third person. One would say.
Right.
Right?
So they cast off that. They cast it off. Right. They put it onto somebody else.
Yeah. But any language based on Latin or Hebrew is automatically androgynous. The Spanish can go back and forth. The Italians, the French, you see?
Right.
Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
All of those can go feel, think, feel, think, feel, think.
Right.
So I chose want because my first chart for my first syllabus, God love it.
Yes.
Was known as the want chart.
Ah.
What are the two letters of want chart?
W-C.
And what does that mean in Europe? What is a W-C?
I'm not sure. What is that?
Water closet. It's a toilet.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So my work is a you-know-what cleaner-upper.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. All right. Very cool.
So that's what it was, the WC.
And so you developed the One Institute, which is...
Yeah, I started the One Institute. I went, this is so cute. There's a huge intellectual property law firm of today, Kenobi,
right.
Martin, Olson, and Baer.
Right.
Well, when I was with them in 1972, 3, and 4,
yeah.
I went to see one of their board members, James Baer, God love his soul. You know?
Yeah.
I went to see him in Orange next to the obelisk in the center of Orange.
Right.
In his little office, looking out the window. I was his antique. Well, I wasn't an antique at that time. I'm antique now. So I went there, and that company, which was Kenobi, Martin, Olson, and Bear, they have, they're really good, good, independent, intellectual property,
attorneys, right.
So I went there, and they created the Want Institute legally.
Right.
And now, today, when I have intellectual issues, I'm the little old lady from Pasadena. You see?
Tell me what the Want Institute does.
The Want Institute is designed to do seminars for public. We have a free one in Orange County at the Costa Mesa Neighborhood Center, brand free.
Right,
free,
the community center.
The community center. And we have one today at the Odyssey Theater on at the corner of Sepulveda and Olympic in Los Angeles, West Los Angeles.
On Monday nights.
Monday night. It costs $10 because the room is, the theater is expensive and we got to pay for it.
That's right.
And we're a nonprofit, but we're not going into debt so that people can learn the Want Institute's work.
Well, if we do that, then what happens is we're no longer able to spread your good works.
That's right. So what the Want Institute does is we teach laymen and professionals of any kind all over the world. We have an online program.
Yes.
Which gives them classes with me teaching.
Yes.
But I'm not there. It's an online program. I do classes right now today. I have 7 classes of students which are learning in levels 1, 2, and 3 what is androgynous semantic realignment. And what that is my communication tools that will help people negotiate without intimidation and without seduction.
So effective communication strategies. And of course, I know this because I am a Want student.
One of them.
One of the Want students.
Right.
So when you are talking about your tools, you have, they're not just some crazy thing that you came out of nowhere with. These tools are tried and true, and they're very effective. Mm-hmm. And you can use them in your personal relationships. And you can use them in your love
business.
relationships and business.
I work for Vistage, which is a CEO company that hires me to go speak to CEOs about how to speak, especially androgynous. How do you speak to women? How do you speak to men?
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back, in, if there are any professionals listening, I am descendant from Alfred Korzybski. General semantics at the time of Freud.
Right.
He said that if you couldn't decipher the meaning of symbols and markings, words, you couldn't communicate.
Right.
So he is the one that theoretically started me interested in semantic realignment, not linguistic. I'm not a... what do they call that one where you're doing concepts? NLP, linguistics program?
Yeah.
I'm not that one. I'm into the quantum mechanics of the particles called words.
Okay.
And the impact that has on the quantum physics of energy, yin and yang.
Okay.
Yang energy wants. Yin energy gets what it wants by knowing what it doesn't want.
Okay.
Women have yin bodies, yang souls. They get what they want by knowing what to say no to.
Okay.
Men have yang bodies. They go after what they do want. And if they're gentlemen, they do it like gentlemen.
Okay.
They connect their yang to their yin.
All right.
And women connect their yin to their yang.
Okay.
Verbally.
Verbally.
So I created these tools, 5 tools.
All right. So tell me what the 5 tools are. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's
you
do them.
Go
let's do them in order.
You want to go yin? Well, I'm going to do. Okay. Tool number 1 is if you want to be cherished, ladies or gentlemen, there are more men today with vaginas.
Right.
And more women with penises than ever before.
That's true.
So we're all both. We're all androgynous.
Okay.
Okay. If you want to be cherished, please, and you want to be in a loving relationship with your brother, your father, your sister, your kid, your lover, your boyfriend, especially in emotional situations, especially sexual ones.
Okay.
Then please ask your other what they think and what they want and what you can do to help them achieve it.
Okay.
Okay. If, however, you want to be respected.
Okay.
Then you always remember that yin people need to be asked how they feel about what you think and what you want.
Okay.
Do you see?
Yes.
So if you're a yin person, if you're a yin woman and your yang boyfriend asks you, what do you think about this? And you're not working partners, convert the want thinking to what I feel. I feel good about that. I don't feel good about that. Just switch it automatically.
Right.
And if you're a yang person and your girlfriend asks you, how are you feeling? Can I do anything to help you feel better?
Right. Right.
Tell her what you think. Okay?
Right.
So, and if you want to be respected, ask your partner how they feel and what you can do to help them feel better. That's tool number one.
Right.
Tool number two, if you're the yin person, and you may have a penis or a vagina, doesn't matter.
Right.
But you want to be cherished.
Right.
Okay? And you want something. For example, yin people want cherishing. And
yes.
When they don't get it, they want to bitch, moan, teach, preach, and question you about why you did it.
Aha.
All right?
Okay.
So before you ask for what you want, yin people, make an appointment. Because if you talk to him while he's in his left lobe, he's going to blow up in your face.
So
you say to him, I have an idea, a thought, opinion, a suggestion. When would it be convenient for you to listen to it? Today, hopefully.
Right.
And then he says, okay, what is it? You had every right to want to do this and that, but I'm not comfortable with it. I don't want to do that. What do you think about doing this other thing, and what can I do to help us do it?
Right.
So I feel better.
Right.
Or if you're the yang person and you want to complain about something,
uh-huh.
You don't just dump it on her, even if her is him.
Right.
Do you see? Because androgyny. What you say is, honey, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Honey
is a good
I
word.
Have something to say to you that might be painful. When would you be comfortable listening? Hopefully today. Now, why today?
Because
when you go to sleep, you paper shred.
Right, we do.
In fact, we have a form of therapy called EMDR.
Right.
And I have a colleague, Jeff White, who I send people to when they can't get what I've got.
Right.
In the way of language, and he puts their left and right lobe together so that they can think their way and talk their way into a better deal. You see?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So with that in mind, you would say, how do you feel, and what can I do to help us feel better? But when you want to complain, you've got to make an appointment. Honey, I have something to say that may be painful. When would you be most comfortable hearing me? Hopefully today.
Right.
That's the second tool for both sexes.
Okay. And what is tool number three?
Tool number three is how to fight.
Boy. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All fighting. Right. How to fight.
Now, if you have to call the police, the doctor, and a lawyer, please do so.
Okay.
You need more than I've got.
Right.
But if it's below that level of immoral, unethical, and illegal, make them right, even if you don't believe it.
Okay.
Fake it till you make it, act as if till the feelings follow.
Okay.
Honey, I'm cherishable here. I have a respectable person that goofed and made a boo-boo.
Okay.
You had every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, but I'm really uncomfortable with it. I really don't want to be uncomfortable. What do you think about not doing it that way or doing it this way? And what can I do to help you and I do it so that I feel comfortable?
Right.
Got it?
Uh-huh.
Now, I am the respectable one.
Right.
The yang one.
Right.
And she, with a boy's body or a girl's body, doesn't really matter.
Right.
You say to her, him, her, it's, shim.
Whatever.
It's a shim.
They.
Yeah, that's both sexes. I believe God is shim. Half female and half male. What you say is, darling, I have something to say to you that may be painful. When would you be comfortable listening to me today?
Right.
And she in a boy's body, now what is it? You had every right to say, think, be, feel, or do that. But I want it this way. I want you not to do that again. Don't tell them the story. Don't tell that at the party again. How do you feel about doing it my way? And what can I do to help you feel better about doing it?
Right.
So that's tool number three.
Right.
Tool number four, 90% of communication is nonverbal. It's tones of voice, gestures, postures, and facial expressions.
Right, like we were talking about earlier.
That's right. So how do you get the nonverbal to the verbal? Here's what you say. I sense by the look on your face that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes. When would it be comfortable for you to talk to me about it?
Right.
That's man, yes, yang, talking to woman, yin.
Right.
On the other hand, I believe by your body language that you're really upset about something. Am I right? No. Oh, okay. If you ever are, let me know.
Right.
Look at your watch. They'll be back within the hour. I am upset.
Right.
What can I do to help you and I do better? That's the yin talking to a yang that's mad.
Right.
Okay?
Well, men are always saying that the female, or, well, the male energy is always saying that the female energy says, when they say, what's wrong? Then they say, nothing.
Yes, that's right. Here's what's even worse. I believe by your tone of voice that you're upset. No answer. Don't answer me that question. I want you to know that a non-answer is a negative answer.
Right.
What can I do to help us do better, sir? And what can I do to help us do better, miss?
Right.
Do you see?
Yes.
That's the fourth tool. The fifth tool is timeout, like the referee.
Oh, yeah.
The umpire?
Yes.
Timeout. When you see that timeout sign, you say, honey, what can I do to help us do better right now? Or, darling, what can I do to help us feel better right now?
Right.
Those are the core five tools.
Okay. Well, those tools are amazing and awesome.
And they're going to rewire your Broca area in your left hemisphere, and you are going to naturally speak this way, but it may take you a little while.
Right, because the Broca is where that whole thing
you
is going
to,
on.
The Broca area is the muscle of speech.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you about a couple of Pat-isms.
Yes.
And the first one is, you will often say...
What?
Do you want to get laid
or
paid?
Absolutely. All right. Now, Harvard did a big study in the 90s, and they asked people, why did you mate and why did you marry?
Right.
Two-thirds of all yang people with penises or vaginas, you know,
right,
said, I want to marry or mate. Mating is marriage without a document. Marriage
right.
is mating with the document.
Right.
Okay. Why did you marry? Why did you mate? Two-thirds of yang people that want respect mate and marry for sensual and sexual stability.
Okay.
Now, one-third mate and marry for status and financial security. They're called gigolos or gold diggers.
Gotcha.
Okay. Then they asked other people, yin people, why did you mate, why did you marry? And the yin people said, status and financial security. Marriage is not designed to protect men. It's designed to protect women and children from men.
Right.
That's why governments and churches are very responsible for that particular business. Okay?
Right.
All right.
So, let me see. You say, Oh, you want both. And your
Wait,
answer...
Wait, I didn't finish that one.
Oh, okay.
Two-thirds of women want status and financial security. One-third of women want sensual and sexual security. They're called cougars.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so tell us about them.
Well, cougars are basically women, highly sexed women, that are making their own money and basically are looking for someone to make love to them.
Okay.
Or commonly referred to as laid, or also commonly referred to as hooking up.
Okay.
Okay. Now, paid is legal documents that guarantee you're going to be in his obituary, you're going to get alimony, you're going to get child support. Do you see?
Yes.
So that one is basically the legal aspect. And the book on this is called The Evolution of Desire by David Buss, a wonderful Texas-based therapist.
And we are out of time. So what
My
would you like to
goodness.
Say to me and to everybody out there about your fantastic book, Getting to I Do, and about what we've talked about tonight?
Well, Getting to I Do is for people that can make agreements and keep them, because that's the only way you know you love yourself or anyone else.
Perfect. Find out more information about Dr. Allen's book at drpatallen.com. You can buy it at www.wantistore.com. And to find out more about the Want Institute, you will look for wantinstitute.org. Find us on Facebook, tweet with us, and give us a plus on Google. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.